It's a privilege and an honor to be here. Thank you, Pastor Kev, for opening the pulpit. I bring you greetings from my husband, David, and my other two girls, Danielle and Triana. And David's going to be trying to help them this week as they're homeschooled. And, of course, from our church, Open Bible Fellowship in Safford. Well, the opening this morning, I'm really glad that my mother shared, but, of course, I kept feeling like, what am I going to say now when she's sharing my message? She says, I was just trying to be supportive, and I said, yeah, but y'all do a better job than I can do. But I have a lot of scriptures to share with you. What I'm here to share about today is, how can you too be one of those people that just read through the entire Bible in a year? And I want to start with, I'm going to read to you a speech that my oldest, my 9-year-old, had to write a speech for school. And she actually presented it to the church this morning. So families together, that's what's important. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. Through the Bible in a Year by Danielle Koblin. Reading the Bible through is a great accomplishment. I know because I just completed it for the first time in 2005. It was not easy, but it was worth it, and I was personally encouraged. The best way to read through the Bible is to set a goal to read it every day and follow a reading guide. I used the 1-year Bible. I was also accountable to my dad and mom. They are my reading buddies. My mom really encouraged me to stay on schedule. I stayed on schedule even better than she did, but she thought that was great. It's important to grow in God. One way to grow in Him is to read His Word. To serve and follow Him, you need to hide His Word in your heart. But you can't do that if you don't know it. I learned His Word by reading it. Further, God wants to keep us to keep from sinning and to take His Word to heart. I did this by highlighting verses that were important to me. I also wrote down special verses and notes in a journal as I did my readings. I love the fact that I finished reading through the Bible this past year. And let me tell you, since I did it, I know that you can too. When you finish reading, you'll be able to encourage other people that they can read through the Bible. Remember, God wants us to know His Word and to take it to heart. I hope you take on this challenge and have a great time reading your Bible this year. I'll be reading mine along with you. And she did. She loved her Bible. She loved reading in it. This fall, I wasn't sure she was going to finish because her curriculum load was really incredible. We started a new curriculum, and it's from Back East, and it's very, very full. But she got it done anyway, so we were really happy. I love the Lord, and I love His Word. And I love, if it's not practical, I don't really care to be in it. I'm too busy. I've got 3 girls that I homeschool, so I'm with them 24/7. That's why my husband said, you need to take a break. Go see your folks. Go do what you want. So I decided that I would take a break. It was hard for me to realize that I needed a break, but I trusted him, and he was right. But I've been studying scriptures since I got saved when I was 5 years old at the Episcopal Church, and I've followed Jesus my whole life, and we grew up doing Bible studies with my mom and dad, and I love the Word. I love to make it mine. And those of you that read through this year, it's just so neat. Isn't it wonderful when you've read the whole Bible that any time you're ever hearing a message, whether it's in a service, in a Bible study, on TV, you've already read that verse. Amen. You've got to keep it to your heart. It becomes special. We have a main purpose in God is to love Him and to know that we are loved by Him. I loved how Mama shared about hiding and hoarding the Word of God. I hoard the Word in a different way than some people. My birthday is in January, and so either for Christmas or my birthday, I like to get new Bibles. And some people might say, well, that could be a lot of Bibles, and I'd say, yeah, but what's better to get, a new pair of socks or a new Bible? And for me, I lend my Bibles out to people. I give my Bibles away. My girls will have nice Bibles as they're getting older. They can decide what kind they like. And fortunately, I chose to read this little teeny tiny one before I turned 40, And now I buy a giant print Bible so I don't have to worry about reading glasses at all. But it's really hard to just sit in church and listen to a message and take it as far to heart as you need to if you are not reading the word yourself. That's one of the things I was appreciated about all the classes that my dad and mom and the people that are at my home church when I was growing up did. It was always, don't just hear it from us. You go look it up and see what the Bible says. You just see what you believe. So we want to read the word. How many of you have made a commitment to read through this year? Hopefully, by the end of the message, more of you will want to raise your hands and say, I can do this. As you read through, you need to use a pen and a highlighter. I'm sure none of this is new to you if you know my mother at all. She always says, if your Bible's too nice to read and write in, then put it away, put it on the shelf, and get one that you can write in. This one I read when my husband and I were doing mission work in Russia. I got it in 94. I read it the year of 95. And I highlight, and then I make notes. And it was neat to come back and find this Bible. And as I was just looking through it, I came to Luke 1:25. I have to find out if that's really the right. Yes, it is. Okay. It has a note, and it says verse 14, and it says December 95. So chapter 1, verse 25, the Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown me his favor, taking time to wipe away my disgrace among the people. This is when Elizabeth found out she was pregnant. And my husband and I were married 12 years before we had our first. And so when I read that scripture that year, I wrote down, we're pregnant, and we rejoiced together. And so it's like, it's a friend. This Bible, I looked at it, wasn't just special because it's a word and I've read it, but this is the Bible I was reading when I found out I was pregnant. So it's kind of like, even for those of you who don't do a lot of journaling, if you make little notes in your Bible, you go back and it's happy memories, or maybe it's, oh, I was going through something tough here. Maybe you're reading Job and you write to the side, boy, can I identify. Is there anything else God can do to my body or to my life to make me, I just identify. Just make a little note to the side. God loves it when we do that, when we take his word to our heart. And highlight. My 9-year-old highlighted a lot this year. But I love to highlight. My challenge is to, in every scripture, I try to find something to highlight. Even if it's just, that's an interesting name, or, you know, some of the chapters that you're reading in Chronicles or Kings, you kind of go, oh my goodness, am I going to get through this? Sometimes I just try to notice, what are the different sizes of the tribes, and, you know, why? But I try to highlight something. That's what I do. That works for me. And that's one of the reasons why I read through a different Bible, is because I have a hard time keeping track of all the little Bible slips. And if I lose one, and I happen to have been behind, I have no idea where I'm at. Whereas if I highlight, it's like, oh, I've read that chapter. So that's something that works for me. And we all have different personalities. And so as you're thinking about reading through the Bible in a year, you need to think about your personality and how you think and how you do things. If you're a procrastinator, then maybe your goal needs to be that by the end of the month you will have that section read. And then any that you read on time or around that time, you can rejoice in. And then you have a goal to, because, you know, the thing about procrastinators, they usually get it done. They just have a little different mindset of when it should be done. So if you say, I'm a procrastinator, I'll never read, yeah, you will, because if you're a procrastinator and you're here today, at some point you did your laundry because you're wearing it. Maybe it wasn't what you planned to wear today, but you've done it sometimes. So take your personality into consideration as you try to read the Bible, and you'll do a lot better. Because my sister Carrie, which I know you all know her, she reads every day on the day, military. I mean, she will not go to bed at night.
Right.
If there's one every year, there's like one day she didn't have it read before she goes to bed, and she just like beats herself up about it. And I'm like, okay, that's how she does it. That's what she does. Not me. I am so not that person. One time I decided I was going to try to do that and I was going to read the Amplified. If anybody knows what it's like saying I'm going to read through the Bible three times in a year to read the Amplified. I tried so many years, I tried to read through the Bible and I didn't make it. I cannot tell you, from the time I was about maybe in seventh grade, I tried to read through the Bible, and it wasn't until after I was 20 or right around there that I actually got the whole Bible read through. And you know, I could sit here and go, oh, what's the matter with me? Or I can say, you know what, all those years I was trying and I didn't give up. And that's what you need to think. If this is something you've never done before, let's say you're not a reader. I've known a lot of people that for enjoyment they will do anything but read. And so they think, I couldn't possibly read through the Bible. But you can, you just need to find out what works for you. Some people do better if they read in the morning. Some people do better if they read at night. Some people read, you know, if they're taking the bus, wherever. Find out where it works for you. And to find that out, it means try it. If it doesn't work, try something else. So don't give up. And I've been known to get very behind in my Bible reading and still get it done. It's amazing how if you just say, I'm going to take 15 minutes from somewhere in my schedule, and I'm going to say no to that, and I'm going to say yes to the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't say, I'm going to take an hour to read my Bible every day, because, frankly, for very few of you, it will happen. But most of you can say, okay, there's a little bit of time between here and here that I usually do this. I'll switch that out and put this in. God will bless that. He really will. So I want to encourage you, small beginnings are fine. 2 Timothy 2:22. This tells us what God wants us to do. This is my travel Bible. This is not my preaching from Bible. Here we are instructed to flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And to call out to God with a pure heart. When we take time to read His Word, we can pursue those things. How do we know what's righteous? A lot of times we can read in the Word and He can help us. And to help us, our priorities change, sometimes without us even recognizing it. So let's pursue righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. As you read, as you're reading the Scriptures, you also need to remember that God expects you as a believer to bear fruit. This morning I was in Mama's office, and on the wall she has a little plaque, and it says, basically it says you need to risk going out on the branches, climbing out on the limb, because that's where the fruit is. And we want to have fruit in our lives. We have to read and find out what the fruit is and what we have to do to get there. Very few plants produce good fruit just by being left to themselves. Very few Christians produce good fruit by just leaving to themselves by themselves. But when we get in the Word of God and we get in relationships, suddenly things begin to get pruned. The soil gets stirred up and you get better fruit. Okay, now I'm going to share an acronym for the Word. Y'all love acronyms, I'm sure. WORK. WORK is the first one for W. W is work, because it is work. I love how Mama shares that you have to strive against the indifference to get into the Word. It is amazing if you determine, I'm going to read my Bible, how everything else suddenly needs to be done. Or how suddenly, well, it's not that big a deal. That is the enemy absolutely trying to keep you from getting in it. And that's one reason we're going to talk about Bible buddies in a little bit. It's really helpful to have one, because they can kind of help work with you to strive against that indifference, to keep you on track. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 19. Yet you ask, why does the son not share the guilt of his father? Okay, since the son has done what is just and right and has been careful to keep all my decrees, he will surely live. The point I want to make out of there, since he's done what is just and right and been careful, it's hard to do everything you need to do to live like God wants you to if you're not in the Word yourself. So we talked about someone who's going to Army boot camp. He does not go to Army boot camp and not read the manuals he needs to read. He doesn't just go out there and say, oh, I guess I'll just do my own thing. He doesn't even get to go to dinner when he wants to. He goes when he's told this is when to eat. If he goes into the mess hall at a different time, there's not going to be anything there to eat. And if he goes and tries to do his own obstacle course, boot camp's not going to be very fun. God gives us a lot of instructions, but it's hard work, and we have to work. We have to be willing to say, yes, I'm going to do this. You don't move up in the army if you slack off. And we need to see it. We need to work. It's not just, oh, I got a, became a Christian. Isn't it wonderful? No, you need to keep growing and getting stronger. So it's work. Oh, organize. Organize a plan. Get it written down. The Bible is full of instructions. Psalm 16, verses 5 through 9. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. Your boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. And my body will also rest secure. God did not tell Noah, go build an ark. See ya. He didn't tell David, give David the instructions of building the temple and say, yeah, whatever. We do not serve a whatever God. We serve a God that tells us exactly how to do it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about baking. How many recipes are just put in what you want or use the same measurement for everything? You know, let's just put a cup, a cup, a cup. I've only heard one recipe that is a cup, a cup, a cup. Usually, if you put a cup of baking soda in chocolate chip cookies, they would not be very good. We need to read it. How many times have you made a recipe and forgotten an ingredient? Just like I said in the first story. Oh, sugar is an important ingredient to no-bake cookies. We need to find out what the recipe is, and then we need to follow it. We need to follow what God said. So we need to be okay that there's an organized plan. R, respond. Share life. Responding is one of my favorite parts. I'm going to look in Malachi 2:16. Verse the last part of it, it says, so guard yourself in your spirit and do not break the faith. In the scripture beforehand, it's talking a little about divorce, but I think it's talking about relationship. And when we consider our relationship with God, we do. We need to guard our spirit. We can't just say, oh, it's okay. We need to guard it. We need to respond to God by showing him that we are going to guard our heart. And Luke 10:21. Actually, it's 10:27. I need to read my own writing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are pretty specific ways to respond. It's not just read the word and do what you want with it. No, we're given instructions how to respond. And with how much of our heart are we supposed to love him? All our heart. And how are we supposed to love our neighbors? As ourselves. And if some of you have trouble loving yourself, then that's even more reason to get in the Word so you can see how Jesus loves you while we're yet sinners. So therefore, if he loved us that way, we can appreciate that he understands that he made us with feet of clay and we're not perfect yet. And we can begin to see ourselves through his eyes, and then we'll be able to love our neighbors even more. But responding is very important. And D is diligence. Diligence. Mark 14:34. I'm going to read the last part of that. It says, stay here and keep watch. This is when Jesus was in the garden. It says, stay here and keep watch. And they were told to pray. And they found out that that was a little harder than they thought it was going to be to do. They were able to stay, but they didn't keep watch very well. They fell asleep. But I appreciate that that's in there, because we don't just see the apostles as perfect. We see the disciples as just doing everything right. So it helps us to realize maybe we need to allow ourselves some of that grace that God provides. And yes, Jesus was disappointed, but he gave them opportunity to try again. And this year, as you're reading through your Bible, if you get behind, pick it back up and try again. Stay in the Word. Say, I'm going to stay. I'm determined to be diligent and stay in the Word. I'm just going to sit back up to respond for a second. I want to read Philippians 4:4 because a lot of you did that today. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It was neat to hear how so many of you were sharing about, well, I've still got these aches and pains, and yet I'm rejoicing. That's outstanding. Okay, so we're going to review that acronym for the Word, because we're going to be in the Word. We're going to work. We're going to organize. We're going to respond, and we're going to be diligent. Get a Bible buddy. Have you set up Bible buddies for this year? I'm sure Pastor Sherry would be happy to, and those people that got certificates today, maybe you can find someone who wants to read and hasn't accomplished this yet and be their Bible buddy. And get together, have times. It's like, okay, maybe for some of you say, I just need to be accountable once a month to see if I'm on schedule. Other people might say, I need to be able to tell you every day. You might decide that you want to set up times where you're going to get together and go to coffee and read your Bible. Maybe you're going to set up times where you can just get together and see, or you say, when we get together, what life are you going to share? My husband always laughs at me because he is a read the Bible on the day or be a little ahead person. And I like to read the books more altogether. I don't like to read little chunks of Genesis. I like to read Genesis together. So I'm either usually ahead or behind. But when I get behind, I cannot read the Word without sharing life from it. I can't. It's like it bubbles up. You know how you've read about the springs of living water? It bubbles up. I have to share what I'm reading. And so if I'm behind and I'm reading, he says, oh, I can tell she's behind because she's just so full of life. She's got to share. And so I encourage you, don't just read this. That's a respond. Don't just respond to God with it, but respond one to another. Make this time before church, not just time where, well, how's it going? How's the weather? How's this? But what's sharing life that you got from the Word? Did you read that? And then, if you haven't read it, instead of using it to condemn you into, well, how's the weather? Be determined to say, no, I'm going to go and read it so I can have something to share too.
Amen.
Okay. The next thing I want to talk to you about is finding the right Bible for you. I realize you guys might be trying to do the one-year Bible, but for some of you, the one-year Bible might not be the Bible that really works. Or maybe you can find the one-year Bible, but find it in a translation that works for you. Like I said, the Amplified Bible is great for study, but I would never make it through. Set goals for yourself, too. I'm going to take a little aside. If you're someone who hasn't read through the Bible before, set reward goals for yourself for when you get it done. There was a time for me I wouldn't let myself read any magazines or any books unless my Bible reading was done. Because then I'd be sure to get it done. And at that point, I really needed that motivation because I enjoyed reading these things, and this wasn't always as easy, especially if you were in some of the books that can be a little not so interesting to you at the time. So set goals as rewards for what you can do. But find the Bible that's right for you. I often tell people, if you're reading for the first time and you're not an avid reader, consider something like Good News for Modern Man. It's much more like reading a book. It's still the Word of God that's getting into you. And from there, you'll go on to other books, but it's better to get the Word into you than say, well, I've got to get the King James, or I have to learn how to read it in the original Greek and Hebrew. You know, we put these unrealistic goals on ourselves, and then why didn't we get it done? Because we put unrealistic goals. So find a Bible, and if you don't know the right kind of Bible, go into a Bible bookstore and just sit and pull some different Bibles off the shelves. Turn to the same place in every Bible. I had a lot of reading challenges as a child. I was dyslexic, and I was in tutoring from the time I was in first grade through fifth grade. And the first Bible I tried to read was a wonderful, beautiful Bible my parents had given me. It was a Dakes, which translates two columns of notes, two columns here, eight columns on one when it's open. If you're dyslexic, that is like utter chaos. I couldn't tell where to focus. I was just overwhelmed. I'd open it and I'd just feel claustrophobic. So finally I realized I could read. I could read a novel. I could read a book. Single column. One column here, one column here. All the way across. And I could read and I could get it done. And so I had a single column Bible for a while. And then, for me, I don't like the notes that are on the inside. So it's a column, notes, and more scripture. That's too confusing for me. Put the notes down here, or no notes. I don't care. But don't I can't handle it that way. Other people, they buy all these Bibles that have all this commentary. You know what commentary in a Bible does for me? It condemns the heck out of me because I'm not reading it. And I think things are supposed to be done in order, so if it has that whole section, you know, before each book and in each book, there's these changes, and it's like, and so people say, are you reading that Bible this year? Uh-uh. I just read my Bible, and I've got it done. Just like a lot of Bible reading schedules have you read Psalms and Proverbs twice. Do you know how many times in my life I'm reading through the Bible I have read them twice? Not a lot. But the Bible isn't all of these books plus Psalms and Proverbs twice. So I consider I got it done if I got it done, not if I read two books twice. So just give yourself a break. Okay, so set a goal. My 7-year-old is reading the New Testament and the Psalms this year. And that's enough for her, and that's enough for me to keep track of for her. My 9-year-old will read through the Bible again this year. It's kind of challenging sometimes when, you know, when we've moved this year, we've done different things, so a lot of times I like to read ahead. But I will look at my calendar and I'll say, whoa, I've got this coming up, or whoa, I've got that coming up. Instead of getting behind, sometimes you can plan ahead, just like Cease is always ahead in his Bible reading. That's great. But look at your schedule and try and plan if you know that you tend to drop something like that when you're incredibly busy. And if you live busy all the time, then ask God to help reset your priorities and remind him that he said he won't put you through more than you can handle. And it's amazing if you pray that God is really faithful to open things up. But again, I do chunk reading. That's what it's called in my new curriculum. If you do it all a bunch at one time, they call it chunking. So I do chunking with my Bible. A lot of times in what I will do in January is I will read part of December. I'll read the end of December. Because then next year, as Christmas is coming around, even if I've gotten behind, I don't live in this dread. Another thing I do is if you get behind, absolutely positively, I do not start where I left off. I read today's reading. It's called stopping the gap. Because then you've read today's. So in a certain way, you are caught up. And then you have the encouragement to either go from here back or from here, but you stop the gap. If you are behind and you start reading from back here, you will never, the light at the end of the tunnel is never coming. And the only thing the light at the end of the tunnel you think it might be is the headlamp of the oncoming train. So stop. God is more concerned that you get his word into you than how you read it. He's more interested that you read it than you not read it because you didn't have the right schedule. In conclusion, embrace the word. Embrace it. Make it your own. Give it your hugs and kisses. Make it what it is for you. Make it so that you know that that's your Bible. I love some people read the same Bible for 30 years till it's falling apart. And that is wonderful for them. And I like that. I like that ability that you just know where it is on the page. For me, I always will love the King James because I memorized everything out of the King James. My husband wants my daughter to learn to memorize out of the New King James. And on a selfish basis, I don't want her to because if she memorizes out of the King James, then she can recite it to me and I can be doing something else. But at the same time, but if she learns it, I have to stop. I'm going to have to follow along and see what it says. But so I love the King James because that's what's in me. And I love the living and the old living, which you can't see. There's good things about the old living. They're not dead. But the old living, you can't get anymore unless you get it at a yard sale. There's just a new living. And I have an old living King James parallel. So I can read the lighter if I'm for enjoyment. But then I can check the doctrine in the King James to see, is that what it really means? So how are you going to read? Some little hints. When you read, either get your BlackBerry or your phone with all your little things or your computer or a notepad with you. Because I guarantee you, when you're reading, there's going to be things that come up. I used to try and pray. We used to have a prayer room, and I used to go and pray, and I'd pray, and it's just like kneel down and get ready to pray, and all of a sudden, all these thoughts would come through my mind. of everything I needed to do that day, everything, da 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 da. And I used to just like, oh God, I'm so sorry, I'm trying to pray, I'm trying to pray. And all these thoughts keep coming in. And I'd be so condemned and convicted until God said, I'm giving you those thoughts. Write them down so you don't forget them. It's a blessing. You came to me to pray. I'm bringing these things to your mind. Write them down, then pray. And it's amazing. The same kind of thing happens when you go to do your Bible reading. Suddenly, you think of five errands that you really need to do that you've forgotten to do. God gives you those things. Write them down and then keep reading. When you get done, you've got your list and off you go. I like to read my Bible with like little note cards. So if I get something that like I want to share with one of my daughters, I want to share with someone, I can just write the scripture and that right there, right then when it's fresh in my heart. God gave it to me. Right then, I go and it's done. And then you can jot down things that are special to you. If you don't just want to write in your Bible, you might want to keep a notebook. My brother-in-law keeps, Jay Becker, he keeps all sorts of Bible, I mean, I don't know how many notebooks he's filled up with his notes. And he's a deep scholar, so all sorts of deep notes. But consider reading with at least something. A lot of times, since I do, I read out of my big Bible. Then if I go on a trip, I take my little Bible, and I just jot down on a piece of paper the verses that I would highlight in my other Bible. I go home and I highlight those verses. But be in the Word. It is a wonderful thing to be in the Word. Rejoice with one another. Encourage one another. Get together and have Bible reading parties instead of just movie parties or instead of just shooting the breeze parties, and grow in Jesus this year. Thank you. Pastor Kevin?
Amen. How many in this room love the Word of God?
Thanks for sharing with us, Pastor Julie. As we embark on a brand new year, it's not too late at all. If you want to join in on the Bible reading, like I said, see Pastor Sherry. We've got some of those kinds of Bibles. But we agree. We urge you, find a translation that you enjoy. We're going to try to build our doctrine on that, which is very, very solid. But the thing is, the Word of God is something we can participate in daily, just like eating. It's so essential for our soul. And then when we get together, the things we share will be edifying. I'd rather build you up in the Lord than tear you down or discourage you. Wouldn't you rather do that for me? You know, that's how we're going to help each other as we grow in the Lord. Are you ready to continue to read the Word of God this year? Let's stand together, shall we? Father, we thank you for the goodness of your Word, the goodness of your Spirit and your grace to us in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that your Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and you know how to come in and do the dividing of that which is good from that which is bad. You know how to take your Word, apply it to our lives by your grace, and change us to be more like you. This morning, Lord, all of us are here as candidates. Change us to be more like you. That's what we want. That's why we've come to church. We want to hear your Word and let it be engrafted into our souls so we think like you and act like you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray for Pastors David and Julianne and their family, their children, that you will bless them as they continue to build your church in Safford. Thanks for this time of fellowship this morning. Let each one go forth with joy in their spirits, for indeed this is the day the Lord has made. We do rejoice. And we are glad in it. We love you, Lord. And all the people said, amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.